ebook publishers and marketing services company Just Imagine It Inc. presents Get Behind Me, Now Stay There, a new fun-filled, informative podcast available on iTunes and right here locally on KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, 89.5 FM. Art and entertainment news and views. Today, we travel to Oregon with one of the early pioneers, Jesse Applegate. Carson Bench talks about community radio in Ashland, and one of its local companies, Blackstone Audio Inc., has been nominated for 2 spoken word Grammys. We'll preview one of the productions starring Val Kilmer, all right here after the news you want to know. I got a picture of a photograph of a wedding in a shell. It's just a burning age of memory. I never kiss and tell.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. I'm Lucia Sherman.
And I'm Cyrus Emerson. Here's a look at our top stories in the art and entertainment world. Blackstone Audio Inc.'s 2 Grammy nominations this year have people wondering, what is audio theater? Audio theater is the art form that was known as radio drama, and it's a very rapidly growing form of entertainment, often replacing radio listening as entertainment for the traveling public. There are more creators and producers of audio theater today than there have been for decades. New styles and new techniques are developing. Major stars from movies and TV are creating and performing audio theater because the nature of audio theater makes it possible to produce world-class work without huge resources. 3 basic production methods are in use today. Live performance, where actors, sound effects performers, engineers and musicians gather and perform the script in real time, either in a sound studio or in a theater with an audience. Multi-track studio, where voices are recorded separately, edited, and assembled in a multi-track environment in a sound studio. Music and other sounds are added on separate tracks, and all these elements are mixed and edited to achieve the final result. Location production, where a single microphone is used as a movie camera, and the actors perform many of their own sound effects as they read the lines. Scenes are in various locations outside the studio, capturing the characteristic acoustic responses and background ambience of different places. Today, as we record this, we're sitting in Blackstone's multi-track studio, where portions of Hamlet and The Mark of Zorro, both up for Grammys in the spoken word category, were recorded. In fact, Lucia, did you know that I helped with the recording of The Mark of Zorro?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right here.
Right here in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you get to sing La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha?
Well, we were a bunch of drunk Mexican soldiers. And there were some people, I think, maybe taking shots of tequila.
Oh, what about mezcal? Enjoying themselves. What about the little worm? Did they?
They ate that.
Ooh!
They're method actors. You know, they have to get into character.
It sounds like a lot of fun, though, and especially working with him.
Yeah,
what
Yuri
an honor.
Wazowski, yeah. He's been nominated for some other Grammys as well.
Yeah. Another great, maybe not an actor, but an entertainer, the former Loveline host Adam Carolla has seen his stock rise sharply since launching his podcast in 2009. Adam Carolla has made a career of speaking frankly about everything from sex to cars to politics, so it's no surprise that the former host of Loveline responds bluntly when asked why he's launching a stand-up tour at this stage of his life. He says, to make money, pretty much. For a guy who's worked at real jobs that are actually hard, coming to a town and going to theater is just awesome and easy. Carolla isn't kidding. He's been a carpenter, a traffic school instructor, a carpet cleaner, and a boxing coach, among other things. But his real talent comes in talking, and that's certainly true, Cyrus. After getting his start on the KROQ radio show with Jimmy Kimmel, now a longtime buddy and business partner in Jack Hole Productions, Carolla went on to co-host Loveline and create programs like Comedy Central's The Man Show. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was funny.
This crazy show. And Crank Yankers, what a name. His latest success and the occasion for the Adam Carolla Hates the Holidays tour is his podcast. He launched it in February 2009, just 3 days after CBS canceled his radio show, and immediately began racking up impressive numbers, 250,000 downloads in a day and 1.5 million in a week.
Wow, he's almost up there with us.
Oh, yeah, he should be so lucky, huh? He's since gone on to win the most downloaded podcast in the world title from Guinness World Records, with more than 60 million total downloads. And write a New York Times best-selling book, 2010s and 50 Years Will All Be Chicks and Other Complaints from Angry Middle-Aged White Guys.
What was that title again, Lucia?
In 50 Years Will All Be Chicks and Other Complaints from an Angry Middle-Aged White Guy.
What would it be for a white chick?
I don't know. Let me think. How about... In 20 years, we'll all be men and problematic.
Do you mean stupid?
I'm not touching that one. Another book is planned for a spring release next year. Podcasts have been a boon for comedians in general, but Carolla's red-blooded everyman rants have translated particularly well to the digital realm. Whether he's interviewing celebrities or riffing on the 24-hour news cycle, the Anything Goes format lets him cast himself as a common-sense champ. I love the guy. Have you listened to his podcast?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. He is irreverent. He has a razor-sharp wit and totally spontaneous. He's wonderful.
Yeah, I've seen him like on The Man Show and some other movies. So I know his sense of humor.
And he complains a lot. He's always complaining. But, you know, his type of complaining is easy to take. It's not heavy-handed. It's almost like a Woody Allen whine, mm-hmm. which is kind of endearing almost.
Well, here's another story about an author sent in to us by a listener.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
You know, we definitely encourage that from all of you out there. In all of human history, ghost stories have given us some of our most long-standing social motifs. Even the Bible has them. Australian journalist and author Karina Mikado has written two books about common people's experiences with the paranormal, which include Spirit Sisters and Where Spirits Dwell. I'm still learning about it, she says, despite having stood in haunted rooms and seen evidence of intelligence from beyond. All I can really say is that I definitely believe my interviewees' experiences are valid. They saw or sensed something they couldn't explain. I'm convinced there's something we can't grasp, and there's more to our lives than the material we see in front of us. What that is and how it manifests, I'm not sure. Though ghosts have been with us for at least 2,000 years, science is teaching us a lot about the way our brains work and how our brains can skew our perception, tricking us in all sorts of ways, which ultimately contribute to our survival. One of the few truly scary stories in Where Spirits Dwell tells of a young mother in Sydney who awakes at 3 a.m. to hear toys being loudly and forcefully played with in her infant son's room, before shaking off sleep and realizing he's lying next to her in bed.
Cyrus, I think it's really great that listeners are getting in touch with us and suggesting books and different topics for us to read on the news and talk about.
Definitely. We encourage it, and we hope that more of you out there listening to us will check out our website, send us an email, give us a call, you know, suggest more things for us to cover in the future.
And we'll definitely listen to your suggestions, so please do that. Okay, and here's a story I'm really looking forward to because it's a film review of some story that is absolutely terrific. In contrast to Roger Corman's 1967 Freak Out, The Trip. No hallucinogens are harmed in the Michael Winterbottom comedy of the same title, a British road movie laced with lacerating laughs starring Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. Mr. Coogan has made a career partly by riffing on narcissism, and he's in fine, self-loving form, as is Mr. Brydon. For one man, the humiliation of choice here is fame, with a debasement chaser, while for the other, it's his incessant vocal mugging. Both give you a contact high. The duo's dueling funny man routine will be familiar if you were in Britain last fall and caught The Trip when it was a 6-part miniseries on BBC Two. The title, premise, and almost everything else in both the big and small screen versions are identical because, well, they're essentially the same, save for the movie's abbreviated length and some gags lost in translation. As in many road movies, The Trip becomes an occasion for philosophizing, a journey inward and out, as the men joust and parry, improvising and entertaining each other, at times by imitating hilariously someone else, like Michael Caine, Sean Connery, Woody Allen. Oh my gosh, do you remember that, Cyrus?
Yeah, I do remember that. Forgotten Queen.
That was a good imitation.
Oh, thanks. Very. They do it much better, though.
Oh, my
gosh. It's a great movie.
I love it. You know, we both love this movie. It was just terrific. I just saw it on Netflix recently because I was asked to by Charlie, and I was so glad I watched it because it was just wonderful. Terrific. It was a breath of fresh air. And, you know, I just love British humor.
Yeah, it's a little dry, but definitely hilarious. The whole Michael Caine thing. And he starts talking very slowly. I was just on the floor rolling in laughter. Yeah, but I don't want to give too much away.
Oh, well, of course not. We want everyone to watch this film because it's one of our recent favorites.
Yeah, and when I saw it with my cousin who downloaded it onto his iPhone from Netflix. Uh-huh. And then we sat there and we watched it on his iPhone. Yeah, you know, we all have Wi-Fi. In fact, many of our listeners are probably using it to download Get Behind Me Now, Stay There on iTunes right now.
Of course they are. So tell me about these.
Well, if you use a Wi-Fi network at home, there are undoubtedly limits to where you can access the signal. If you're looking to boost your signal, these simple tricks will help to improve your home Wi-Fi. Move your router. Many people don't realize where you put your router really does make a difference. Obviously, a central location is best, but for many, you are tied to putting the router where the internet connection comes into the house. Beyond simple proximity, consider the router's height. The higher your router is on a shelf or cabinet, the less physical interference it's likely to encounter. Move the router to the best possible position to take advantage of doorways and open spaces instead of walls and corners. Wi-Fi might move through the airwaves, but furniture, walls, and appliances can weaken your signal substantially. Technical tweaks. Once you've got your router in an ideal spot, if you live in close proximity to someone else with a Wi-Fi network, you may both be trying to use the same channel, slowing your connection. So double check that and check the age of your router. It may be slower than newer models. And those are some tips that could help with your home Wi-Fi. And with the holiday seasons, everybody's going to be getting new devices and stuff like that. We just hope that helps you. And then, yeah, it makes it easier for you to download Get Behind and Stay There on your from iTunes.
And actually, it just helped me a lot. I didn't know some of those tips. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. You know, Cyrus, the holidays are such a great time of the year. And I love that song, Here Comes Santa Claus. And I hope he comes to my street because I live on Santa Claus Lane.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
No, I'm just kidding. With the
special
of the year.
Special delivery from the North Pole.
Are we really going to use this? No. I don't know.
Playing reindeer games again.
Reindeer games. What are we going to say?
Yeah, let's play some reindeer games.
What does that mean?
That's what all the other reindeers did while Rudolph had to, you know, hide out with his glowing red nose.
Yeah.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it,
You would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
But you know, Cyrus, with you know the all the reindeer games comes the New Year's, and at the end of the year, it signifies a time of closure, and an era is truly known only when it's over. In 2011, institutions closed shop, government programs ended, and others simply moved on. If this were a list of departures based on search interest, media personalities would dominate. However, a ranking of bricks and mortar business shutdowns would include The Gap and Liz Claiborne. Here is our list. Space.
The Final Frontier.
Stop. America once ruled the known universe. Now, the same year that Russia celebrated the 50th anniversary of the space flight, NASA flew its last space shuttle mission. Technology. The year that Apple became the most valuable company and iPad sales set a record, Steve Jobs stepped down once again and for good. At a time when disgruntled Joes feel disconnected from their CEOs, people the world over expressed reverence for the late CEO as they measured his legacy and vision. Movies. The Harry Potter series, my favorite, ended in 2007, but the big screen realization had to happen before fans could say goodbye, and they bid their farewells in record-breaking droves to a bright spot in a largely dreary cinematic year. Journalism. Just when the journalism industry seemed to be stumbling back on its feet, past sins shut down Britain's oldest newspaper, News of the World, and ended media baron Rupert Murdoch's dynastic ventures. Daytime TV. The daytime queen ended her 25-year reign. Oprah Winfrey did more than redefine daytime TV. She created a movement. Technology. Saying goodbye to an old friend is always hard, and in the case of Friendster, you couldn't help but feel a little guilty over outgrowing your pal for the cooler kids on the block. MySpace was also sold this year, but Friendster will always be the first. And finally, business. Borders wasn't just the story of another big business failing. With shopping malls now bereft of a literary presence, what does the disappearance of Borders say about Americans' reading habits? Is the book dead, or are people on the edge of a reading revival thanks to digital?
Yeah, viva la revolution. You know, I'm definitely down with all these new devices, Nook and Amazon Fire, you know, is the way of the future.
You know, I beg to differ. I do. I love holding a book and reading it and curling up on a couch with a cup of tea and just savoring the moment with something on my lap. And but you know, it to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, well, you're only going to be able to do it at home.
I know.
Because, yeah, we've gone from bricks to clicks.
Yeah, it's true.
So there's going to be less places out in the marketplace to go hang out at. And
rest in peace, Borders.
Bye-bye. Yeah, how do you throw a book at anybody now?
Oh, I'll come up with an idea. I'm just kidding.
You can throw a Nook and $100 a pop.
I know. Ooh. Well, anyway, so we've lost some, but some new wonderful technology is coming into being and falling into our laps, speaking of books and laps. So,
yeah, well, for me, I love the new technology. And, you know, as we go into 2012, I just can't wait to see what they come up with next.
So, Cyrus, you keep me informed. And I'll be curled up next to the fire under my blanket with a lovely book on my lap.
And I'll be reading the Kindle Fire.
Deal.
That is a deal, yeah.
And that's your art and entertainment news. Keep listening for Blackstone's special feature.
Lita Niederheiser talked about her book, Jesse Applegate, A Dialogue with Destiny. and this interview with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Get Behind Me Now, Stay There. Today we're talking with author Nita Niederheiser, and we're talking about her book, Jesse Applegate, Dialogue with Destiny. How are you doing, Nita?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Good. Yeah, you know, it's great having you on, and you're here local in Oregon?
I live in Grants Pass.
Oh, great, great. Well, for our listeners out there, you know, who may not be familiar with Applegate, per se, or even Oregon, for that matter, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book?
Well, it is about Jesse Applegate, and he came to Oregon in 1843. He was one of the wagon masters for what was known as the Great Migration, because in 1843 is the first time that wagons really came west of Fort Hall, and really the first time any number of pioneers came. Before that, there had been, of course, the missionaries came out here in 1836, and then there were a very small train that came in 1841, but the 1843 train is the first time that women and children came, and it's the first time that wagons came west of Fort Hall, and Jesse Applegate was the wagon master for a portion of that known as the Cow Column. The train had about 1,000 people in it originally and ended up splitting into two groups because one group had a lot of loose cattle, and the main people that had the loose cattle were the three Applegate brothers, Jesse, Lindsay, and Charles. And between them, they had about 800 loose cattle. And anyway, the train split over whether guard duty and et cetera, concerning the loose cattle, and everybody assumed that the cow column would be the slow group, but they weren't. They ended up getting to Oregon within a couple of days of what was the fast column. But from that time on, Jesse, from the very moment he arrived in Oregon, was very involved in the setting up of government, a government structure, because, of course, in 1843, Oregon Territory was under joint occupation between Great Britain and America. Neither one owned it. They both were just allowed to be here.
I did not know that.
And then in 1846, after the election of Polk, one of his calls was 5440 or fight. He was going to once and for all settle the question about the Oregon country for the United States. And at that point in time, Britain wasn't quite willing to walk away, so they put a man-of-war ship at the mouth of the Columbia and sent spies in, and the people here became very alarmed that we were going to go to war, and there was no standing army out here, no way to get an army here except by coming by British-controlled forts from Fort Hall westward, which is Pocatello, Idaho today, basically. Mm-hmm. And so at that point in time, Jesse Applegate and his brother Lindsay, along with 13 other men, including Levi Scott, set out to look for a southern route into Oregon, and that's what later becomes known as the Applegate Trail. And of course, I live in the Applegate Valley, which was named really for Jesse's brother Lindsay more than for Jesse. They end up being very involved in solving the Cayuse War, which is the Whitman Massacre. Later, Jesse was involved with the Modoc War, as was his brother Lindsay, too, for that matter. And so nothing that happens in Oregon's first 40 years of history happens without at least one of the Applegates being involved in some way or another pretty majorly.
Well, you know what? That's fascinating stuff. And, I did not know, for example, that when Oregon was a territory that it was up for grabs to the English and America. And for all you listening out there, when she refers to Polk, she was referring to President Polk, who was the president of the U.S. at the time. And Applegate is a community here in southern Oregon. So, you know, also I noticed that, it was more of a, reading in the book, that he's more of a Republican at a time when it really wasn't that popular to be a Republican.
No, he was a Whig to start with, and then a Republican when, of course, with the Republican Party really starts almost with Lincoln, just slightly ahead of Lincoln. And he was a Republican, and he paid a heavy price for that out here in Oregon, because Oregon at that time was about 1 to 3 Democrats for every 1 Republican, probably in some parts of the state, way more than that. And he often fought an uphill battle, did serve several times in the formation of the government and could have served more times if he'd have been willing to switch to be a Democrat, and lost a couple of different, when Lincoln became president, his secretary of state, or attorney general, excuse me, was Edward Bates, who was somebody that Jesse had known as a young man in St. Louis. And Edward Bates attempted to have Jesse appointed the surveyor general of Oregon, but the Democratic Party would not allow that to happen. And General Lane, Lane County here in Oregon is named after, and he ran for vice president against Lincoln. He tried earlier to have Jesse appointed when we became a territory is when he tried to get Jesse appointed, and again, he couldn't because the Democratic-controlled party here wouldn't allow it to happen.
Well, you know, I also noticed that he was in favor, as was President Lincoln, of freeing the slaves and rights for women.
Absolutely. He, from early on, and I think probably was somewhat the influence of Edward Bates, because Edward Bates was a Quaker who was totally opposed to slavery, and Jesse was very much so, too, and part of that was one of many reasons that made him come west to Oregon in 1843, was because he had a very productive farm in southern Oregon, southern Missouri, needed help. It was, had grown big enough, he needed to hire help, and all of his neighbors were pretty much slaveholders, plantations, and he couldn't hire help, and he refused to use slave labor, and so it got harder and harder for him to farm, and that was one of many reasons that drove him west.
Well, he came from Missouri, so is that where he was originally from?
He was born in Kentucky, but his family moved to, he was born in Kentucky in 1811. They moved to Missouri in 1820.
That must have been a fascinating time to live in, you know, with the everything being new, and you know, all the trails and the new territories, and you know, yeah, it's just, you know, and, you know, everybody refers to it as the Wild West, but you know, it has to also have been some sort of like when we today are exploring, you know, space. That must have been the feeling back then, I would imagine.
I think very much so, and you have to laugh at Jesse's father, Daniel. He had gone down into Kentucky. He'd served as a Revolutionary War soldier, in fact, enlisted at 14, and after the war, they were paid with land grants, and you could either go to the two newest frontiers were either Kentucky or Ohio, and he chose Kentucky. And yet by 1820, he felt Kentucky was too crowded, so he moved to the newest frontier, which was St. Louis.
Ah, St. Louis. Well, hopefully by the time this airs, the St. Louis Cardinals will be the world champions of baseball. You know, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, several things. I am a great-great-granddaughter to Jesse Applegate, and all my life have heard, you know, gone to Applegate reunions and things, and heard little bits and pieces about Jesse. And I was a fifth grade teacher for a long time. And when you study Western expansion, you get little bits and pieces about Jesse. Often in the textbooks, part of what I would read, I would think, that's not quite right. I know better than that. And so anyway, then I took a class, continuing education class on the Applegate Trail. And you had to do some research for that class and a paper, and that kind of got me started. And then when I retired in 2001, I kind of thought, you know, I'm just going to go with this and really work at seeing if I can put something together about Jesse's whole life. Because other people had written you found little bits about his the Oregon Trail experience, a little bit about the Applegate Trail experience, and a little bit about his working, setting up Oregon's original government. But nobody had attempted to tell the whole story. And he was a prolific letter writer, and I was able to locate many, many of those letters in one library. You know, like Bancroft Library has lots of them. Yale Library has lots of them. University of Oregon's Knight Library, Oregon Historical Society in Portland. And anyway, I found a lot of them and let the letters themselves do a lot of the telling of the story.
Well, we're sure glad you did, because it's a fascinating book. You know, I have to ask you on the title, Jesse Applegate, Dialogue with Destiny. You know, it almost sounds ominous, a dialogue with destiny, Jesse Applegate.
Yeah. That comes from a letter that he wrote to his brother as they are starting. He's made the decision to come west, and his brother Lindsay and his brother Charles are going to come with him, but his brother Lisbon, who lives in by this time, the three of the brothers were in western Missouri, and Lisbon was back in St. Louis. And he writes to Lisbon and kind of tells him, I'm headed west, and I really can't explain to you why I've made this decision other than it is my destiny.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, that makes sense now. And so, you know, your book is available on Amazon.com. And where else could we pick up a copy of this?
It is available at Barnes & Noble. It is available here in Grants Pass at Oregon Books. It's available in Ashland at the Train Museum, up at the Applegate Interpretive Center in Sunny Valley. That's about off the top of
So it's a... you can pick up a copy of Jesse Applegate, Dialogue with Destiny, at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or anywhere that fine books are sold. Now, Lita, yes. I got to tell you, it's been great talking with you. Do you have any new projects on the horizon? Or is there somewhere people can go, like a website, for example, to see what you're doing these days?
Well, you know, I'm an old lady, and I really don't know too much about computers, so everybody keeps telling me I need to put a website together, but I have not done so, I'm afraid. I had no intentions of doing it, but I've had enough encouragement from this that in doing the research for Jesse, I certainly found a fair amount about his brother Lindsay, and he was a very interesting man, too, very different than Jesse, but certainly very influential in Eastern Oregon and in Southern Oregon. I was one of the first Indian agents, among other things. So I think that's my next project. I'm going to write a book about Lindsay.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. And you can also find out about Jesse Applegate, Dialogue with Destiny, on justimagineinc.com. And we'll put up some links that are, or you know, maybe some new information about your forthcoming book. And when your book comes out, maybe you can come back and visit with us again. We'd love to have you.
And I'd love to do that. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Okay, Lita, it's been great talking with you. Once again, the book is Jesse Applegate, Dialogue with Destiny. Thank you, Lita.
Thank you.
To learn more about Lita Niederheiser, visit us on our website at justimagineinc.com.
Carson Bench's great passion for public radio keeps KSKQ moving forward. He joined us here in the studio for a conversation with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Get Behind Me Now, Stay There. Today, we are honored to have Carson Bench, program director of KSKQ, 89.5 FM, local community radio here in Ashland, Oregon. And he was gracious enough to come down here this Saturday morning. It's a little cold outside this morning, but braved the elements. And he's here to talk to us a little bit about KSKQ. Your music selection is so diverse and so dynamic that you know, it makes people want to tune in to see what's coming up next.
What's going
to
happen next? Yeah,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
That.
And you know what? And when I'm listening to you, I listen to you guys at home. You know, right? I'm listening to it, you know, on my Bose system, and I'm like, you know, hey, this sounds really good. and the music's different and stuff like that. But, you know, it never enters my mind, Carson, like, you know, is this on a vinyl or is this a CD or is this a digital file? I don't care, man. I'm just digging the music.
Okay, well, now that we're talking about music, because this is my favorite subject, this is why I really like radio. I mean, I understand and believe, and I'm, you know, a champion for, you know, the purpose of community radio as far as news programs and all that. But my true, real passion and love is the music. And it's like, wow, got that on the radio.
Yeah. Right?
Because you can hear anything on the internet. And so if you hear something wild or crazy that's kind of pushing the boundaries and it's on the internet, so what? I mean, everything. But once you've heard it on the – if you hear that on the radio, something you're like, oh, I can't believe that was on the radio.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because the radio is more exclusive. There's only so much bandwidth. And not anyone can just run a radio station. You know, you have to have licensing and all of this stuff. You know, anybody can put anything on the internet these days. And so the fact that we're putting this stuff on the radio, FCC allowed, is – I think, you know, kind of part of the wow factor. Some people will complain a little bit like, wow, I was kind of going this way in this mood, and then all of a sudden the music took a turn, and so some people don't like it as much. But everyone should know that there is a little bit of thought process going on, you know, within the diversity. You know, we do have distinct blues list. We have a distinct reggae list. We have a distinct classical music list. Our world music is all over the place on certain days.
And that's my favorite.
Yeah,
I love the world collection. Yeah, it was just great.
We have the best world collection on the air, I'm sure. And it's growing. It's constantly growing because, again, people are, you know, bringing more and more music to KSKQ. So it's pretty nice. It's a great music station. So
no, it is a great music station, and you know, it also, you know, has a lot of other programs on there that. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about it. Now, you know, we of course are on KSKQ and you know, very happy and honored, you know, to be on
the Get Behind Me Now Stay There show. It's Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. to 12 every Wednesday, divided into two parts, and then we'll rerun those two parts in case people missed it and start with another one the next month.
Right.
It's a fantastic show.
Thank you, Carson. You know, we like it and we have a lot of fun making it, dude. But
this is part of that show.
It
right?
is part. Okay, this will be part of it.
And, so you told me, and they.
Yeah, we will also. you know, you have everything on there. You know, from you know, give some of that old time religion to Democracy Now to Get Behind Me Now, Stay There. You know, to and you know, how do you come
what's,
up with such a
what's
diverse
the determining
mix?
Factor? Okay,
right.
Well,
because I think it's great. You know,
this is that's a good question. You know, if you go to the KSKQ website, you can read that KSKQ has a mission statement, and part of that is embracing, you know, diversity and you know, fostering creativity, you know. And so I, you know, try to make sure that our programmers, the people that want to do shows, live shows, are doing shows that fit into that, you know, mission statement, which is very broad. And so it's not too hard to do that. I mean, music is a great way to communicate with people and to build bridges. We just started a show last night, the very first time, called VIP Radio, very important Pisanos. And it is hosted by Sonia and Jonathan. And I would say right now 90% in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
They're playing music from northern Mexico region. Okay, we have a lot of Latino programming. And that's one of, you know, one of our mission statements is to kind of build bridges between, you know, the Latino culture and the, you know, the basic white culture that exists here. I mean, that's, we're not the very diverse...
Ashland?
not very diverse area. No, I mean, thanks to, you know, maybe the OSF Shakespeare Festival, there's a little more diversity, but it's just not that diverse. And so, you know, that's part of our mission statement. And so here we have these new programmers who are doing music from northern Mexico, and we got listeners... literally from Mexico, people calling from Georgia.
All right.
Their very first show, they had like 17 phone calls. I kept on picking up the phone during their you know, their first show. I was hanging out with it to make sure they went well. The phone was ringing off the hook.
Nice.
And so this is the only, you know, and I was talking to them. I said, well, there's a Mexican music radio station in Medford, but no one wants to listen to it anymore because it's just like they play all the old same stuff and they're not doing anything new. And so these kids are doing something new. And so it's educating me as to some of the nuances of music from Mexico, you know. And then on Saturday, we have Juan Salles, who's doing more of what they do on our syndicated show called The Latin Alternative. It's more of a...
Great show, by the way.
The Latin Alternative?
Great show.
Great show. Don't you learn a lot on that? I do every single time.
I do. The music is a little bit different, you know, than what I'm used to as an American. But it's just good. You know, I really like it. And, music really is. I mean, it's an old cliche, but it is, my friend. Music is the universal language because I hear stuff and it's in different languages that I don't understand. But I'm digging the beat and I'm like,
you're communicating.
You know, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Yeah. I mean, like, Viva la Revolution, man. Let's get it on, you know?
And, following that syndicated show, The Latin Alternative, by the way, KSKQ was the very first affiliate of that show. And that's because we know how to recognize a good thing. And now that show is syndicated all around the nation, a lot of really hip stations. So I'm willing to say that we are.
You were the pioneer.
Yes, exactly. Juan Salles, who does the show after that, kind of follows in that same type of music. But then on Sundays, talking about world music, we have stuff from music from Siam, back when Thailand was Siam, cumbia music from Colombia, African juju music, music from Switzerland and Sweden, music from the Portuguese area, lots of Brazilian music, samba music, Cuban music, and the list goes on. And so, yeah, it's very diverse. So, again, you can be talking about the music. I'll talk about it all the time. You wanted to ask me something else before, didn't you? You wanted to say something about other type of shows that we have on the air.
Right, right. Okay. Music's obviously, the drawing card. I mean, it brings people there, but one of the things, that I like about the station, and, there have been days where I've listened to it, from the morning till the evening, because of the programming was just kind of caught me. I did not intend, to listen to it that long. But I'll be listening, and I'm liking the music, stuff like that. And then I'll segue into, something, and if they have a good topic on Democracy Now!, which is, a big show across the country, I listen a little bit to them. And then, I'll hear, I would be remiss if I didn't say I wasn't a regular listener of Maya's Mix, so shout out to Maya there. I love that show.
She's the mixtress of KSKQ.
Yes, she is. Quite a nice gal. But I'll hear, different shows, and this is what happened to me. So for everyone out there watching and listening, especially you people out there in India, we love you. I'm listening to the radio, and I was listening to your show, Latitude 42, I believe. And it segued, into the Ashland Grizzlies, which is the local high school football team here. And I was like, I'll be damned, man. These guys are. And that was the first game I heard. And I was like, wow. And it was such, a refreshing, cool experience, because, you go from one extreme of, listening to the music and, kind of getting yourself pumped up, and then get a little bit informed, with a couple of shows. And then you get like all this fun stuff with the football game. And it's just like, I go, hey, now that's what community radio is all about,
And you know why we're doing the football games?
I have no idea.
Commercial radio, it used to, the Ashland High School football games used to be broadcast on a commercial radio station, on an AM station, and it's been going on for 20 years, and they just recently dropped it. And one thing I've noticed about living in Ashland, I haven't lived here, but not even 5 years yet, Ashland loves their high school students. They love the youth of their town. And so it seemed to make a lot of sense to me and to others that we pick up this sports broadcast that, had been discarded by commercial radio to support the community as a whole. And I think that has helped certain longtime residents of Ashland become aware of the station and see some use for it. And, of course, that'll help them, like you, listen to other things and maybe become exposed to some of the news programs on the station that come mostly from Pacifica News Corporation, the Pacifica News Group, started prior to National Public Radio just after World War II. And so most of our syndicated news comes from there. We also have some other syndicated programs that people are really glad that we brought in. One is the Grateful Dead Hour, and this is Ashland, Oregon. I mean,
I just love that, dude.
Don't edit that one out because that'll get me in trouble with certain people. The Grateful Dead had some great moments, for sure. We also have Philosophy Talk, which is another syndicated show that I really like. you know, versus Car Talk, where you have a couple of guys bantering back and forth about car problems and, you know, talking about cars. This is a show that it comes out of it's done by two professors from Stanford University, and they usually record it live at universities around the country, and they tackle philosophic issues. And it's an hour-long show, and they have that same banter back and forth, and that's a really good show. But a lot of the local shows that we have, I think deserve a lot of note, like Beer Radio with right. Ginger Johnson. I mean, talk about a vibrant radio host and consistently brings in fantastic guests to talk about beer culture. And, you know, it is a culture. And so this is, again, kind of fits into our mission statement nicely that it's exposing people that we're not otherwise aware of this culture simply because it's on the radio. And where would there be a station that would have something like that, you know, except for a community radio station? And so that's what we're going for.
Okay, so let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about community radio. This summer, KSKQ had a, you know, tremendous fundraising drive, and they were successful in it. And they brought power to the towers was the catchphrase. And you got a tremendous amount of community support for that, didn't you?
Well, yes. I think it was promising or encouraging amount of community support. You know, where I'm coming from in my mind, we need way more community support than we have right now. But it's a natural process.
Well, how can the community support you then? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and people can get involved with it.
Obviously, we're a listener-supported station. mean, let's just cut right down to the chase. I mean,
sure.
You know, we don't send out an invoice or bill to the, you know, people who are just listening in their cars and enjoying what we're doing and appreciating what we're doing. We're hoping and counting on their sense of community responsibility to send money to keep us going.
And they could donate on the website, which is www.kskq.org, and there's a donate button on there, right?
Mm-hmm. Up in the upper left-hand corner of the front page. Sure. A really good way to go is to click the subscribe tab there in the PayPal box, and you can sign up for a $10 a month deduction. And, you know, that's $10 a month out of your checking account that, I mean, you know how it goes. I mean, $10,
sure.
You have a $10 raise fee in your phone bill or your internet or whatever, you're just going to deal with it, and you're really not going to notice the difference because it's only $10. But to a station like KSKQ, you know, if we had, you know, 100 people doing that, you know, we wouldn't be worrying about our sustainability so much. I mean, so this the history of the right. station has been a real uphill climb and a struggle, for the people involved with very little resources. In fact, it's miraculous that we've come as far as we have. I mean, literally, in my mind, a miracle that we have come this far with the lack of financial resources. But things have just managed to come together and to fall into place as if KSKQ is destined to be here. You know?
It is Christmas time. And I did put KSKQ on Santa's list up there in the North Pole. So
excellent.
I'm sure that, that's where the serendipity came involved there. So, you know, I would encourage everybody, and I have done this in the past too, is that, you know, I mean, you're going to spend, you know, $10 on your, you know, mocha chocolate or whatever, and, you know, you're going to get a roll with it. And so then before, you know, and the whole time you're listening to KSKQ and you're enjoying the station. So, you know, just go ahead and make a, you know, $10 donation. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to break you one way or the other, but it will really go a long way towards keeping the station, you know, in the cash flow going fluid. So, another thing I wanted to bring up, too, is that, you know, not only can you listen to the station, you know, on the website, which we mentioned before on kskq.org, but this is really cool, and I use this a lot on my iPhone, is that there is an app, and it's a free app that you can get, and you can download it, and you can listen to the station, you know, anytime you want, anywhere you want, yes, and even on an airplane, which I frequently do.
And if people are using that, you know, if they have trouble with that app, send us an email to info@kskq.org.
Okay, sounds great.
People really don't want to hear about fundraising too much, though. We can entertain them. Do you want to talk? What else do you want to?
I mean, obviously, you have a passion, you know, for radio. And, you know, I was just recently, and we're going to, an article that we're featuring on Get Behind Me Not Stay There is about audio theater, which is a fancy way now of saying, you know, old-time radio. it's making a big comeback in a big way, and a lot of people are really digging it. You know, they're just like, you know, hey, they want to hear the stories. They want to hear, you know, the radio as opposed to, you know, watching it on TV, watching it on the internet, or watching it on YouTube, you know? They you know, I enjoy it because you really use your imagination. So
I had a thought when you were talking about audio theater and that coming back. Radio is a fantastic medium because people can learn through listening to the radio, but they also get to use their imagination.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you're getting, you know, visual stimulation, when you're watching a movie, you're you know, a certain part of your imagination is just cut off. You know, but when you're listening to somebody's voice, you picture in your mind what that person may look like as your mind wants to. Right. So you get to use your imagination. But also, it's a very personal medium because the majority of listeners, and this is really, really true, the majority of listeners are listening alone.
Exactly.
They're alone and most likely in their car. And the human voice is perfectly tuned, or maybe I should say the human ear is perfectly tuned to receive everything the human voice, all the sounds the human voice makes. And that goes directly to the emotional center. And so you have a very personal medium as well, because when you're on the radio talking to somebody, you're talking to them. When they're listening in their car, they're with you. They're almost spending time with you. And so I think maybe that answers the question a little bit. Why do I have a passion for radio? Mostly because of music, because I love music, and I love the idea of the radio DJ. It just always seems so cool to me. And always wanted to get into it. Never really knew how, you know. And waiting tables, people would tell me, you know, I'd introduce, you know, it's like, oh, and the specials are, you know, they say, oh, well, you should be on the radio. You have a nice radio voice, you know, and, you know, and I'd think to myself, well, that wouldn't that be much cooler than, you know, waiting tables right now. And it just turned out that I lived in a town that was starting a radio station. And so I asked to be a volunteer for a morning show, which didn't seem like anybody in this town wanted to wake up too much early in the morning. So I'd be a shoo-in if I asked if I could volunteer for that, you know, for that time slot. And that time slot I ended up doing for 8 years and created it into a show that had a format with co-hosts and in, you know, as far as all indications we could tell, was the most successful show as far as, you know, the community radio show goes, as far as pledge drives and call-ins and listeners. And I left that area, and the people that I had gathered to do that show with me continued to do the show for another 4 years. And so I felt really good about that. I wasn't really sure if, you know, when I moved from this area where the first radio station I worked at would be, you know, would be an opportunity for me to do a radio because I was moving to Southern Utah. And you know what? I found a radio station that was just getting started there and ended up living there for only 11 months, had some financial difficulties, and landed in Jackson County. And with no intention of ever really being here, you know, it just wasn't in the plans. It's just kind of like we just ended up being here. And on the very first day of landing in the area, I wanted to return some CDs, a local store called CD or Not CD, and asked the proprietor if he knew anything about community radio in the area. He says, well, there's a station called KSKQ, and but I don't know what's up with them. And so the call letters in my mind, I went into the food co-op right from there about 10 minutes later, and this kid walks in, like with, I'd only been in the store for a minute, and he's wearing a t-shirt that says KSKQ. And I said, hey, excuse me, tell me about your shirt. And that guy happened to be one of the six or seven people that owned one of those shirts. He didn't make that many. And he had information for Jason Houck, who was taking care of the affairs at the station at that time. And I arranged to get myself a radio show upon the very first day of living here. And so it just kind of seemed like this is something I'm supposed to be doing. Right. And the more I get into the project, the more I get in the project, the more I get in the project. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I've noticed on the radio that when I hear you, you know, you're very passionate about, well, just about everything. And you're a natural, you know. I mean, you've been in, you know, radio quite a while now. But for everybody that listens, and, you know, I would encourage you to listen to Carson. He, you know, he's just really, really good. And it's It is a little bit like old-time radio. Because he, you know, presents his shows, and when he talks, he's talking like, you know, you feel like you're the only person in the room. It's like, I'm turning to the radio, and I'm listening, and it's like he's talking to me. He's like, okay, you know. You know, I want to tell you something about this. And, you know, and I was like, oh, I better listen up.
Good. Then it's working. Right. Okay. Nice. Thank you for the feedback. You know, who knows what – I mean, what makes good radio is kind of – I guess could be subjective. What I think makes KSKQ great is it's sincere and it's, you know, community members that you know and care about,
right,
that are on the air. I mean, we don't live in a big urban area.
We do not.
And we're also connected in one way or another. And this radio station is just going to, you know, strengthen those ties and make more connections.
Well, I certainly enjoy it. And I know that a lot of people here in Jackson County enjoy the radio station. And, you know, once again, please donate on KSKQ.org. There's the donate button. You can subscribe to it or you can make a one-time donation. Whatever, you know, all, you know, donations are welcomed. You know, I also want to, once again, you know, and then this is just me personally, I mean, the app is the way to go because everybody has a smartphone these days, it seems like. You know, my 7-year-old daughter has a smartphone.
Well, what I like about the app is that this is a walking or bicycling town, you know, and so everyone's got their earbuds in. I just want to imagine that their earbuds are tuned to KSKQ, so.
Well, they will be if they download that app, and it's a free app, and you can get it at the iTunes store. And you can get it on Android as well, so no reason for anybody not to have it. Carson, it's been great having you down here, dude. It's just, you know, really nice.
Well, thanks for having me. The honor's mine. Thanks for making me feel so important today.
Well, you are. Today's your day to shine.
So rarely are those days.
Yeah. All right. We want to thank everybody, and be sure to tune in next time for another exciting episode of Get Behind Me Now, Stay There. And we've been talking today with Carson Bench, who is the program director of KSKQ. Thank you.
Thanks.
To learn more about Carson Bench and KSKQ, visit us at justimagineitinc.com. Or you can watch the interview on Just Imagine It Inc.'s YouTube channel. You know, I did? And I think that he looks so much like Russell Crowe. It's uncanny. Listeners, why don't you take a look and get back to us and tell us what you think? It'll be fun.
Blackstone Audio, Inc. distinguishes itself as a true frontrunner in the audiobook industry with 2 nominations for Best Spoken Word Album at the Grammys this year. The first, for Hamlet, by the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, was featured on Get Behind Me Now, Stay There on an earlier show. And the second, for The Mark of Zorro, masterfully adapted into a full-cast audio drama by the award-winning Hollywood Theater of the Year, especially for Blackstone. This is an exciting, action-packed, swashbuckling adventure that will have listeners on the edge of their seats. Starring Val Kilmer.
Out! One side, Delano! Where this petty El Zorro only before me, here and now.
You summoned me, senor?
El Zorro.
At your service. I've been meaning to pay you a call.
Please, senor El Zorro, no one here is worth robbing, especially me. Have a drink on the house. Have two.
Fear not, landlord. It is the sergeant I have business with.
Business? With me?
See. 4 days ago, on the road between here and San Gabriel Mission, you brutally whipped a native who had won your dislike.
How does it concern you, my pretty highwayman?
I am the man's friend, and I have come to punish you.
You punish me? Ha! You are as good as dead, mi amigo. His Excellency has offered a pretty price for your carcass, alive or preferably dead, if you are a religious man. Say your prayers.
There is no need for prayers, at least not from me.
Then I must do my duty.
Sergeant Gonzalez blew out the ends of his mustache and came forward carefully. He was taking no chances. We had all heard of the bandito's skill with a blade. And when the sergeant was within the proper distance, he jumped back as if a snake had risen to strike. For Zorro had allowed one hand to come from beneath his cloak, and that hand held
a pistol.
Back, Sergeant.
Ha! So, that is the way of it. Can it be, senor, that you lack the courage you pretend to possess?
The blade is for you. The pistol is to keep observers from becoming participants. Quickly, senores, to that far corner, por favor. Gracias. And now, Sergeant, on guard.
The blades clashed. Sergeant Gonzalez was used to fighting men who gave ground when they pleased and took it when they could. But here, he faced a man who fought in quite a different spirit. For El Zorro, it appeared, was as if rooted to one spot.
Dude, standing like a piece of the hills, Chupete. Is it against your religion to take a step?
You cannot taunt me into doing so.
Sergeant Gonzalez battled furiously, only to be turned back again and again. All his tricks countered almost before he tried.
You have had enough of playing. It is time for your punishment.
And suddenly, Zorro began to press the fighting, taking step after step, slowly and methodically going forward and forcing the big sergeant backward. The tip of his sword seemed a serpent's head with a thousand tongues.
We are interrupted, senor.
Johnston McCauley, a one-time police reporter, was the author of hundreds of stories, 50 novels, plus numerous screenplays for film and television. Oh yes, he also created Zorro. For more information about top-selling titles from this award-winning company, go to blackstoneaudio.com. Get Behind Me Now, Stay There is a Just Imagine Inc. presentation and was recorded in the Blackstone Audio Inc. studios in Ashland, Oregon. If you would like more information about this show, or if you or someone you know would like to be featured, please call 541-708-0525 or visit justimagineinc.com. I'm Cyrus Emerson, and I'd like to give a special shout out to my family and friends. You guys know who you are. I hope that you all have a very wonderful holiday season.
And I'm Lucia Sherman. Please join us again next year. And I have a special happy holidays wish to our listeners from all around the world, especially Italy and India, who listen to us regularly and we're so happy you're with us. And a happy ciao ciao to all of you in Italy and happy holidays to everyone in my life, and especially my dear husband, Scott.